number 8, which is the application for subdivision and rezoning for the Northeast Keniston Bison South Town Bridgewater Development under file DAS Z 4 of 2010.
Would the applicant please step forward?
For the record, my name is Paul McNeil.
Councilor, just before we begin, as you're aware, there was an amended ACG that was submitted. So when considering the reports and moving the motions, I'll take it for as gospel that you've received this document and reviewed
yes,
it.
Yes, I know I have received it and reviewed it. And
maybe if we can just start by asking the applicant.
Well, I guess we've got people here. Okay.
Well, yeah, maybe let's just get an overview of what this application is all about.
All right, again, I apologize. There is some redundancy, but we'll whip through that quickly. Go ahead, Veronica. As you've probably seen in your material and as we've discussed earlier, we were asking for a subdivision rezoning of the northwest neighborhood as well as the town center. The overall application within the northwest neighborhood is principally single family and PR parks lands. Within the town center, it's a combination of commercial, mixed use, residential, and employment lands areas. I'm not sure that we need to go through those on a block-by-block basis, but go ahead. Veronica. We've already... Oh, no, we haven't stopped on that. I should... Sorry, I'm starting to get confused myself. One of the things I wanted to point out when we talked about visitable housing, one of the key elements for us is within a flat terrain such as Winnipeg, the challenge in developing visitable housing is having the main floor of the house at grade. And one of the things you have to be very careful about in doing that in flat terrain is ensuring that you don't end up flooding the house. Typically in new subdivisions without back lanes, the drainage patterns are back to front. That is, the peak part of the lot is at the back. The drainage flows around the house and down to the street. Because we have the thresholds of the front doors basically at grade at the front, the peak of these lots has to be parallel to the front of the house, which means they have to front to back drainage. In areas where we have back lanes, that's quite achievable. In areas where the lots back onto parks and retention ponds, it's also achievable. The challenge for us is dealing with the drainage in a safe and efficient manner in areas where we don't have lanes. And the way that we've handled that is to create a drainage swale along the back of the lots so that the lots have split drainage. And this may not be very clear, but the top is a profile of the street. But if you look at the bottom, this would be the street. These are the driveways going into the houses. These are the houses. And the high point of the lot is essentially along the front of the house where that front door is. So the land has to slope away from that to ensure that we don't get flooding. What we've done is created a drainage swale in the back. And rather than leave that simply as a drainage area, which can cause the Public Works Department or Water and Waste Department difficulties at some point in the future in maintaining that, those are being incorporated into community walkways within the subdivision. So when we talked earlier about the overall plan within the subdivision, what we're seeing here is that the fronts of the houses would be visitable, but that drainage area at the back is going to be incorporated within a 20-foot wide area. 20 feet is the normal width of the right-of-way for a lane, and there will be an asphalt pathway that follows through that area as well. And that ties into part of our overall system within the whole subdivision for connectivity and pedestrian connectivity within the overall subdivision. And this has been worked out with your administration to the point where I think everybody is now comfortable with the concept, particularly your accessibility coordinator, Judy Redmond, is really thrilled that we've managed to get a subdivision that seems to work in a challenging terrain, in a really flat terrain. If you've got a lot of hilly areas, it's a little different. So I think we're really pleased that we've got a solution.
Is Councillor Gervasi thrilled?
I haven't asked, Councillor.
Sorry, continue.
Out of context, I don't know.
Order, please.
Go ahead, Veronica. And this is just an artist's rendering of that walkway system in behind. One of the key elements in understanding this, and it's really critical so that we understand what we're dealing with here, is the developer is building the fences along the back property lines of the houses that back onto the walkway system. So So rather than get a combination of a variety of fences, some of which, or many of which, could be 6 foot high wooden fences, which would create a very enclosed area, the developer, as they have done in the first phase, is developing the fencing along the backs of the houses that front onto the walkway with a combination of stone pillars at the corners and wrought iron fencing that runs through that area. It's a high quality fencing, it's an open fencing, and it's the one area where we actually have a little bit of disagreement with the administration. The administration has asked for a maximum of 4 feet in height. In discussion with the builders, there's a real concern that if it's limited to 4 feet, then people will have difficulty with their pets in the yard, and we'd like that to be 5 feet in height. Because it's an open, porous fence, you don't get the effect of a confined, narrow walkway. These are fences. They'll be caveated against the lots, as they are in the first phase. I don't know if you've taken the time to drive through the first phase of Bridgewater Forest, but where there are lanes in that subdivision, the developers
built. What if you don't want a transparent fence?
Pardon me?
What if you don't want a see-through fence?
There's two issues here. People who will be buying these lots know what they'll be getting. They do have other options in the subdivision to buy lots that are not backing onto the walkway system. So we expect there'll be some consumer choice in the matter, and some consumers will not choose this. To date, it has not been an issue in Waverly, in the Bridgewater Forest, the first phase. People can landscape within their yards, and they can also do screening closer to the house. If they're doing a patio, they can do screening within that area.
What about swimming pools, Paul?
In cases where people are building pools, there are regulations as to the minimum height. The caveat on the lot doesn't go all the way up to the house. The caveat, Jim, covers off.
Oh, I see. So somebody would have to build a
secondary fence,
within
15 or 20 feet.
That's in the public right-of-way?
That fence is along the edge of the public right-of-way, but it's on private property, so it's not a public responsibility to maintain it.
So you're building the fence, but giving the responsibility to maintain it to the property owner?
Yes.
And then if they have a swimming pool, they would have to build where they're required to have I think it's a 6 or 6.5 foot fence, I'm not mistaken.
Right.
2 meters? But originally it's higher than the maximum allowed here.
They could not build that fence right at the property line. They'd have to come in a distance, and I think that's either 12 or 15 feet before they could put that secondary fence for the pool to meet the requirement of the bylaw.
Which doesn't leave you much room in the backyard to put a pool, so basically you're saying no swimming pools.
I suspect, and I'm speculating here, is that there will be very few of the lots that are in the visible category that will end up with swimming pools. I think if people are making that decision, the consumers will choose lots that are larger, typically pie-shaped lots, and others in the cul-de-sacs, and there are a variety of lots within the subdivision. This is not 100% visible within the community.
I guess my concern is once people move in there, that it's like anything, you have the ability to apply to vary. Because we're at the subdivision level here. This isn't in the area structure plan. It's not like you need an area structure plan amendment.
And it's not a variance in this case because there are caveats that are against the lot.
It's caveated.
So they're going to have to go through, if they wanted to change that caveat, they'd have to go through a legal process.
So, and even the distance, the setback distance would be caveated?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
okay, I'll direct the angry phone calls to you.
Visibility. What is it?
Visitable.
Housing. How far in the development will it be? Is it the entire development?
No, it isn't. There's a combination of lots. Veronica, I wonder if it's possible to go to the end of the slide. We have some other slides that are, if we wanted to get into the details, and we can do that. This is pretty close in terms of the combination of lots. So go ahead and blow that up. Bear with us for a minute. Going. These are all the slides you're asking about before that we'll get down to the details of it. This illustrates the various types of lots. All of the lots that are light gray, here for example, backing onto Bison, the pockets up here on the cul-de-sacs for example, are all what I'd call a conventional lot. That is, they will not have walkways behind them. They will not be designed as visitable housing. It doesn't mean people couldn't choose to try to do that, but that those are the lots where we would expect, if somebody has a problem with buying a lot that has a fence behind it, or if somebody wants to buy put in a pool, those would be the lots. The lots that are in red through this crescent up through here and across the top are the ones that we're talking about that would have the walkway behind them. The lots that are brown colored on the slide in here and in here would also be visitable lots, but those would be lots that back onto back lanes. So in the case of the back lanes, it would be no different than any other conventional subdivision. So there is a combination of, there's one other type, and that's the dark gray, and that are any of the lots that back out onto the lake systems. Because of the drainage system with the lake systems, those would also fit the criteria, but again, they would not back onto the walkway system that we've described.
Gotcha.
So there's a full range of lots within the subdivision.
Yep, thanks.
Okay, can you take us back to where we were?
Okay, no more questions.
Good. Okay, then before I move on, are there any other questions then about sort of the design elements of what we've built into this?
No.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay, what else follows this then? There are two or three minor items in the ACG report and the recommended agreement, but you also asked some questions as well with respect to the school site, high school site, et cetera. And perhaps I should deal with those first, and then we'll come back to the details of the wording in the ACG report.
Yeah.
The other thing is, Paul, if there's somebody here maybe registered for information, that we'll get them to come down and put their requests on, if need be, to you, and then you'll be able to speak to that rebuttal as well.
That would be fine. One of your questions was with respect to the elementary or the elementary middle school site, what happens in the event that the school division does not exercise its option. We have the site is being zoned with two zoning categories. Again, I'm sorry, but this may not be clear. Part of the site and in the agreement in the report is that if it's not used for housing, this section here, which is zoned PR, would revert to the City of Winnipeg. It would be additional dedication at that point. Not a, what is it if it's city, okay, it's taken over by the city. I shouldn't use the word dedication, it's a special connotation. That PR piece would revert to the City of Winnipeg. This frontage area here would be developed as similar to the other frontage with single family lots fronting under that street, and this has been designed so that it'd be a small cul-de-sac that comes in here, and so it would be developed as single family housing. The zoning is in place to allow that. There would have, oh, there we are. That's what it would look like upon development. So the green piece, the PR, would revert to the city. The other would be developed as standard single-family lots.
So we're actually approving that zoning tonight, then.
You're approving that zoning, but you're not approving that part of the subdivision. That's what you're approving here.
Right.
So in total, that's a seven-acre school site. That's a seven-acre... five-acre site, which the school division has identified what their needs would be for the area. If they did not exercise that option, then it goes back to the other zoning. The other use.
I just want to be clear, because I've gone through this a couple of times where the school division hasn't exercised the right, and we haven't had these sort of provisions in place, and you end up into these ugly sort of rezoning PR lands to make them residential lands. So when you were saying that the little cul-de-sac jog there was not included, what would be the process to include that going forward? Would that require a public hearing?
Yes, it would. That would be a DAS application, development application subdivision.
Why don't you zone it right now?
Why don't we zone it right now? I guess we can. We'd have to go out and
in case the school goes in and they don't need that, because they could also do a DAO, a road opening, on there as an application.
But isn't it wiser, because what happens inevitably is that everybody, when they go to buy the lots, they're told by, you know, the developer sells the lot to the home builder. The home builder, you know, puts the best story out there to get the buyer to buy that lot. They don't say that, you know, this isn't necessarily going to be a school. They say, look, there's a playground right in the backyard. There's going to be a school here. This is a great lot. That's what they'll say. So when the school division decides they're not going to sell it, and the developer wants to exercise, in this case, their right to build the residential lots and realize the return, then all the people get up in arms. So having it rezoned right off the hop is the best case scenario.
With the opening, you mean, or
with showing clearly what it's going to be at the end of the day. I don't know if we can accomplish that today.
Well, the zoning, in fact, does that. We're zoning this for single family. The issue, and there's no mechanism for us to open that street and then let the school division build on it. The issue is that little cul-de-sac loop there.
Wouldn't it be better to have the street open and then have the school to close the street in order to exercise the option? Because as soon as you have to go through any kind of public hearing, once you put anybody in those R1M lots, whether it's coming to this community committee or it's going to the Board of Adjustment or even if it's the director and there's an appeal process that falls out of it, those people will not accept the fact that was originally zoned as residential. Land.
Right. I know exactly where you're coming from, but I believe a closing would also require a public hearing, does it not?
Yeah.
So we're sort of...
No, but closing to create the school...
Yes, that's
...would
true.
Not be as great an issue as closing to take away the wide open spaces of
right.
the schoolyard.
Okay. We would be fine with that, Councillor. We don't have a problem with that. It's a question of the mechanism because now the school division is going to be dealing with the city on the closing. It would be city right of way.
You know what? I don't want to drag this up because I don't think technically, based on the way this is advertised, that we can deal with this tonight anyway. And I'm pretty confident that we're at the point where a school is going to go in here pretty soon. And this somewhere in Waverly West, we need to get an elementary middle school going. I don't know if that's the site or the other site, let's leave it for now. We've had it come forward the way it is, and we'll move ahead.
All right. Because of the way the advertising is done in the paper, which is the notice, which is at a very small scale, I think there's latitude to be able to make these kinds of adjustments. I guess James Carter isn't here tonight to comment on that.
I'm not comfortable trying to do it, Paul.
Paul. Are we ready for the...
Do you want to move on? There are a couple of other items very quickly
ACG.
Then. Go ahead. The other one was a question with respect to a couple of other minor, small revisions, and they're very, very small. One of them was a slight realignment of the line.
Are we on the ACG here?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And I think it's dealt with in the administrative report, but we just want to highlight for you the minor changes that have taken place. In fact, I think that's almost irrelevant. And the other one was a small extension of a PR area.
Could you just say again specifically what that one was, Paul?
There was an issue with alignment down here. In terms of our connecting PR streets through here, or PR sections through here. And so there was a slight realignment of that line from the actual application to what went forward.
We're good technically, legally, we're good?
Yeah, in fact, our recommendation, we're recommending that Schedule B be approved, because we show Schedule A as the advertised mechanism, and then we recommend that B be approved. So what this does is widen it slightly so it's even with the PR1 lands south, and we're completely fine.
Yeah. Good.
There's no zoning change. It's just
no. I just want to make sure that legally we're covering that we're not doing something that we have to come back and undo because we have it advertised right.
That's correct.
If it's in an instance where it's more restrictive, this would have covered land that was actually R1M. So we're putting a more restrictive use on it, and that's okay.
You've got everything on the record that we need on the record.
Yeah.
And the other small adjustment.
So we record the lawyer too.
The other small adjustment is along the same lines, and that is within this cul-de-sac at the request of the administration. Originally, this was just a cul-de-sac. That's been opened up as well so that there is a connecting point from the AT trail that follows along here to be able to turn up and go through the subdivision into the park area in a more direct route.
Okay.
So those are two very minor additions. There was also a question, Councillor, with respect to the regional high school. Veronica, if you can just show
me
that.
If it's not in this area...
It's not this application, but I thought you'd
deal
with that.
No, we'll deal with that after. I'm fine. I think I remember a previous conversation, and I'm good.
That's fine. Then with that, I'd like to just go to the ACG report, and there's only two or three very minor areas that we'd like to comment on in terms of either changes or clarifications. And the first one is in clause 16, and these really all relate.
It's not electronic. Do you have it, Jason?
Yeah, I've got the ACG report here, the amended one that we got today, so I don't know. As long as the numbers are the same, we're okay.
Okay, you may need to.
Okay, 16.
Okay.
All
Is there a Greenway Network here?
I don't have it. Right. We got it. So, Mr. Chairman, you received the revised ACG report. These are our comments on the revised ACG report, and there are three amendments that we were requesting that the Community Committee consider. The first is in Clause 16, and in the administrative report, it specifically says...
Clause 16 in the development agreement.
Is it the development agreement? Yes.
Right. Not in the plan consideration.
Right.
Okay.
So if I can see if you can proceed to that page.
Sidewalks.
Okay.
The issue is that, and I indicated earlier on in the presentation, the one area that we are out of step with the administration on is the issue of sidewalks. We are asking that for permission, essentially, to allow us to build sidewalks within the residential area, and we're actually asking permission for only one side on the residential streets rather than the two sides. And currently, ACG or development agreement parameters do not permit sidewalks to be built within residential areas. So that, because that ties in very much to what we're trying to do within the overall neighborhoods, because we're trying to build in healthier communities by encouraging people to walk, we really strongly believe that sidewalks are a key element to encourage people to safely walk within the
community. So you want 16 eliminated?
Yes.
My understanding is that there are some examples of this type of sidewalk in place, I think in particular in Edmonton. You're talking about the sidewalk directly adjacent to the...
Well, there are two issues. One is allowing us to build sidewalks, period.
Okay.
And the other is then the location of the sidewalk. And within the residential streets, we are asking permission to build the sidewalks back, what's called back of curb, rather than set up against the property line. And yes, there are many other cities with examples, including, by the way, Winnipeg in the first neighborhood. We've been building sidewalks that way in the first neighborhood.
I just want to... Are we okay just to go here now?
Yeah,
we gotta,
sure.
You guys, can you give us some comment on this? Like, I don't have a huge problem with allowing them.
It's all snow, right?
Yeah, but we can move on. I guess what we've heard from, we have kind of separate factions in the administration is the way they think. We don't permit it on one and on local streets for the development agreement parameters. However, we also do see that there's a benefit to it overall in terms of walkability.
What are you asking for here? For one side in
the
residential?
Within the residential streets in the northwest neighborhood. Town center is a little different, but we're dealing now specifically on the northwest neighborhood. We're asking permission to build sidewalks on one side of the street in the residential, on the residential streets at the back of curb.
Okay. Back of curb being?
Meaning that...
Can I run some language by you to see if it works? Mm-hmm. Sidewalks shall be permitted back of curb on one side of residential streets in the northwest neighborhood, even though, well, take out even though they were allowed. So just period. Sidewalks will be permitted on permitted back of curb on one side of residential streets in the northeast neighborhood.
That's fine, northwest neighborhood. But to clarify, just to make sure that nobody's misunderstanding residential streets, we're talking, we have, in the hierarchy of streets, we have what are called residential streets and collector streets.
So there's a typo in here. This, what we have here says that it won't be permitted in the northeast neighborhood. That's what we're correcting. We're actually, in essence, talking about the northwest neighborhood.
Yes, we are.
Right now. Okay. That's just a reference.
No, Mr. Chair, it says northwest.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, northwest neighborhood. Yeah, okay.
What was going on here? Was it our intent to eliminate sidewalks entirely, or just eliminate the type of sidewalks that are off the curb, like that abut the curb? What's going on?
Okay.
Streets. The standard is if they're just residential streets, no sidewalks. That is the standard. If there are sidewalks, which would be on a collector street, then the sidewalk goes over by the property line, 1 foot off the property line, not back of curb. So there's two issues. Public Works wants them neither on residential streets nor back of curb.
Okay. We all got that?
And to clarify, Mr. Chairman, we're not asking that the sidewalks on the collector streets be back of curb. We're leaving those on the normal alignment. as per Public Works recommendations. These are only on the local residential streets.
Can I make a suggestion? Before we start drilling down in this HCG stuff, that we get through the rest of the representation, because we're basically negotiating the ACG like we're done here. And so let's go and...
Why don't you identify your concerns with ACG?
Do it in rebuttal.
And then, no, just identify your concerns, put them on the record, and then we'll go through these names. And then we'll get back to you for rebuttal.
All right. The three issues we have are all identified on this slide. That's Clause 16, which deals with the sidewalks we've just talked about.
Okay.
Clause 17 in the town center, where we do have a residential street, we want sidewalks on both sides. So it's a slight different differentiation between that. Again, attached to the back of curb. Okay. And then bullet 51, or clause 51 in the bullet, is what I referred to earlier in the report. It says a maximum of 4 feet in height. We would like that to be changed to 5 feet. Those are the only three issues that we have within the report.
Okay, now I'm going to go to the list. I'm going to work through the list to see if there's anybody else who wants to make comment on any of this.
Come on, let's go.
Paul McNeil, Veronica Hicks, Paul Sunderland, Jim Gallagher, and for information, Brock Feenstra and Lauren Lang. In support. Okay. Now we're done.
I smell a raise
coming. Is there anybody else who'd like to fill out a form? I don't see anybody. Mr. McNeil. Okay. Now, councillors, we have the three ACG.
We already talked about the third one, so we're okay with that.
The third one, fences to be 5 feet in height?
Well, we didn't really talk about that. We talked about 6 feet.
So our people said 4 feet, right?
They want 5.
Yeah, that was our understanding at the time, that we thought that the original intent was 4. We have no issues with 5.
Okay.
But if you do make a change here, make a change to the zoning agreement as well. There's a zoning agreement on it.
That's fine.
Okay, so
we'd have to make 2 changes.
Okay, yes. So in the amendments that you sent me, that comes up as item 50, as clause 50, not as clause 51.
It's in both.
51.
Item.
I see. Okay. Constructed under the
51. Both refer to fences in different locations. Both would like at 5 feet.
Okay. I have one question on that clause 51 while we're here. You refer to crime prevention through environmental design permits are applied particularly related to establishing clear sight lines. Somebody added the term designated, mm-hmm. where it says between points. What was the purpose of that? It didn't.
Sorry, it's on 51?
It's on, 51, the very last bullet says, SEPTED principles are applied particularly related to establishing clear sight lines between points of access, egress along the length of the path, and now it's saying between designated points. Why the addition of the word designated?
I spoke with Donna Beaton on that item. The designated points of access, she just wanted identified as the components where there's a walkway crossing over the pathway of the visitable lots. So there are clear entry points into the visitable pathways.
A little bit overkill. I think we were fine between points of access, egress, along the... Okay, fine.
Okay.
Okay, so now on the fences to be 5 foot in height and clause 5, so that's in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th bullet where it says 1.2 meters. You want that to say 1.5 meters.
Please.
You guys are okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in conjunction with that, you'd want to look at the zoning agreement to a...
You know what? We can instruct the administration to make all the changes wherever they need to be changed accordingly.
Okay,
that's the spirit of our. Councillor Swindell, any more?
Just let me get through this here. I made some notes in these pages while we were talking. So I just want to make sure I touched everything. So the one side of the sidewalk in the. In the residential areas, this is just an argument with Public Works over snow clearing and what have you. You had made some concessions in the original subdivision, financial concessions, I think, to deal with some of those issues.
That was later reversed by the city's administration on that. The experience, and I can't speak for the Public Works Department, but I can comment on what Bruce McPhail said in a meeting we had where we sort of raised the issue. The issue was a concern by the Public Works Department that it was going to cost them more money to clear the sidewalks within the subdivision. The fact that they're back of curb, though, allows the street clearing equipment to use their wing plow, and in fact, at the same time they're clearing the street, to clear also the snow off the sidewalk because it's right at the curb.
So it works.
And it worked very well. The only concern...
They do all the grass right now in all the streets.
Now, this... Consider it a grass protection strip.
Okay, fair. My wife would love that.
That's fine. That's what we're talking about. The city typically does use that wing plow, and it allows...
What I'd like to see then is that the back of curb sidewalks be permitted on one side of residential streets.
Okay.
In the northwest neighborhood,
and in the town's center neighborhood on both sides of the street.
And the reason for the difference is we're talking about a higher density within the town center, and therefore more people.
I like these things. I understand the back and forth, and it's Public Works. They have an obligation to say, look, there might be an issue here. But I don't have a problem with it, and I think they work well in other cities, and I think they'll be working well here. So.
And the last item for us, Mr. Chairman, and within the zoning agreement, as the planner has indicated, there are a couple of items that are both in the ACG report or servicing agreement to carry through. There are two other items. One is that you're asking for site plan approval on the townhouse lots as well as the multifamily. Typically, as far as I understand, we come back for site plan approval on commercial and multiple family, but townhouses, single family duplexes and townhouses, we've not. And I'm wondering if we can be relieved of that.
What's the reason?
They're zoned RMFS. We typically do multiple family.
Okay.
I think we've got to stay consistent there, Paul. I think we do bring all those townhouse condo kind of things back that are RMFS.
That's fine. We can live with that.
And there's no mixed-use commercial component in those ones?
No.
But there's a density thing, and there is a flow of traffic, and there's some safety issues that come with them. And I think
that's fine. We can live with that. The last item for us is clause, again, in the zoning agreement, under 2A, subsection 2, and sub-point A. And I'll just read that to you if you're not able to follow it. That where single-family residential lots back onto Bison Drive, the said lots are to be established within minimum rear yards of 12.5 meters. We're asking 12.5, I think it says 17.5, and this has also been discussed with the administration.
That's already in the amendments.
And the ACG report's already picked that up. It's just a question of making sure for consistency that it gets picked up in this as well.
In the zoning agreement as well.
Noise consideration, I don't know if that much of a difference is going to make that much of a difference overall.
I think we've already got agreement on it. The only argument here is that we need to put it in the rezoning as well as in the the ACG, so just to make sure that we're covered in both places.
And that's consistent with the other neighborhoods in terms of what's being approved. Yeah. We're not asking to vary something that's previously been put in. With that, Mr. Chairman, I think we've concluded everything. Okay. We'd like to say we can certainly answer more questions if there are.
One question, and it's this whole thing around land dedication and the added clause that says, in consideration of the above clauses, the public service and developer agree to take into consideration the excess service frontages and developers' increased level of site development within the planned area to ensure that the dedication nets out at zero cash or carryovers. Can somebody tell me what that means?
It's. I can address that first, and your own administration may want to address that.
You think?
Yeah, I think overall we have dedicated in excess of what we actually need to dedicate. If you read the details of the report, what your administration is suggesting is that some of the dedication not receive a full credit for the dedication because it's on slope lands or because it's beside the lake. I think we may argue that point, but not here on the floor. Because of that, there's a suggestion that maybe we're under-dedicated, but at the same time, within the development agreement parameters, the developer has to provide a certain amount of front footage that is along the street for parks, so that the parks aren't all hidden in the back. And in this case, we've provided more than what the development agreement requires us to do at a minimum. So I think what your administration is saying is that in balance, the city is getting a fair deal.
We've got the dedication.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay. Any more questions for the applicants?
I have nothing. I'm ready to move something.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
The height of the fence on the zoning agreement just now, so it's cleaner?
He will when he makes the motion.
Okay.
Right. So the amendment on the zoning agreement will let it would be that.
Any questions for the administration? There's a lot of information here, and I want to make sure we're all on the same page.
All right.
Okay. So in the recommendations. Okay, so I got to move that the receipt of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Yeah. All in favor? Contrary carried.
And I will move that the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All in favor? Contrary carried.
The report of the public.